times, and you should be willing to listen to what he has to say. We talked about last time, I've been talking about how to hear from God. And so every single one of you should be able to hear from God. And if you don't hear from God, you need to ask him why. Because very simply, God wants to speak to us about things that he didn't write down in the Bible. He wants to speak to you about your daily activities, about your daily life. He wants to lead you and guide you. When Jesus was on the earth and he told his disciples a very simple thing, he said, I want you to follow me. Now, obviously, he was here. He was in the flesh. He spoke to them just like I'm speaking to you today. But the issue is that God still wants to do that. As you follow him, he wants to talk to you because they didn't know what was going to go on in the daily schedule. They were following him. He was following the Father in heaven. And so there was a plan. And so they would, the Father would talk to Jesus. Jesus would talk to the disciples. He'd say, here's what we're going to do today. That wasn't written down in the Old Testament scrolls. There would have been no way they would have known what God wanted them to do had not Jesus been talking to the Father and then talking to them. Well, Jesus is still talking to the Father and he's still talking to us. That's the issue. And so he wants to talk to us on a daily basis. Now, I realize that that may interfere with your schedule, but I can't help that. God, every once in a while, wants to interfere with your schedule. And so we talked about last time, we talked about what is called the Logos, the written word of God. We talked about the Rhema, which is the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God is when God speaks to you about something that may be in the Bible where he wants to emphasize it in your life, or he may tell you something else that he wants you to do at a particular time and a particular day. Now, I'm just going to give you just a simple little example of how this works sometimes. God's interested in sometimes the smallest details in our life. I was walking about 3 days ago, and I was just walking along, and I was praying, and I was speaking to the Lord, and all of a sudden, I got this thought in my mind, and the thought said, check your freezer downstairs. I was out walking. I was not thinking about my freezer down in the basement, I'll guarantee you that. But I said, whoa, that's interesting. And so I determined, where did that thought come from? And I determined it came from the Lord. So when I got back in the house, I went down into the basement. We had moved the freezer the day before and accidentally hit the dial. And it was turned all the way up and it was just running continuously 24 hours a day. Now you say, what does God care about the freezer down in my basement? God cares about everything about your life. And every once in a while, you'll just have a thought comes into your mind. It's from God, and you know it's from God. And my thought was, oh, no, maybe we turned the thing off and everything thawed out. That's what I thought. But no, I went down, and it was the other way. It was turned all the way up. It was running all the time. So that just God let me know. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone down and checked the thing. Would have had no thought about it whatsoever. But you know why God did that? He just wanted to let me know he was there and he wanted to know he was interested in my life on that particular day. Are you listening to me? Now, I talked about last time that God does speak to us primarily through the thoughts in our mind, not entirely. We talked about that. He has a lot of ways to speak to you. You could be driving down the road and see a sign, and God could use that sign to speak to you about something. God just has a lot of ways of doing these things, but we got to be aware that God may want to do that. Now, I talked about last time, we get thoughts from three different places. We get them from ourselves, we get them from the devil, and we get them from the Lord. You have to begin to know the voice of God so you'll know who's speaking to you. Because these three things are speaking to us all the time. Actually, you could be speaking your own thoughts. It could be coming from the enemy, or it could be coming from God. The way this works, and I'm going to tell you how, you are in totally control of what you think. Now, people think, oh, I can't control what I think. Just any thoughts come into mind. But the idea is you don't have to entertain them. You don't have to think about it a whole bunch. You can get rid of those thoughts and think on something else. Whenever place you go, it's kind of like walking into a room, and in those rooms there's all kinds of doors. And these doors are they open automatically at a certain thing that you do. So really, we open the door to things in our life by what we say. You can even determine what you think by what you say. What you say opens the doors. You can open the door to the Lord. You can open the door to yourself. You can open the door to the enemy. And you do that. The switch that opens the door is what you speak in your life. We've talked about this before. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So a lot of your thoughts are coming from what you're saying, because what you say opens the doors. It opens the door to the devil, opens the door to your own maybe selfish thoughts. It may open the door to God. And so we're constantly opening doors by what we say. The Bible says, like a rudder on a huge ship, you can have a huge ocean liner and have a very small rudder and turn that ship anywhere you want it to go. The Bible said our tongue is like that. So a lot of the things that we think all the time come from things that we say. Because the words out of our mouth are seeds, are life, the Bible says. So if we want to hear from God, we need to be speaking the things of God. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be praying to God. Not all the time, obviously. We have our everyday activities. But the point is, at some point during the day, we need to take the time to think about the things of God, and we have to be extremely careful about what comes out of our mouth, because that determines what you think. Somebody always says, well, it's your thoughts determine what you say. Not necessarily. What you're saying is going to determine the areas you're thinking. You're either going to be focusing on Christ, focusing on the world and what you're doing, or you're going to be focusing on yourself or focusing on something else. And so we have to be listening to these things in our mind, because Satan can put thoughts in your mind, and you have to determine certainly do not speak them if they come from Satan. And certainly you don't want to think about them anymore, because a lot of times right when you're praying, you'll get some of the weirdest, awfulest thoughts. How many ever had that experience? Where do they come from? They don't come from God. They come from the enemy. The battlefield is in your mind. That's where the battle takes place in your life. That's where you're going to win or where you're going to lose. Now, if you're a Christian, hopefully you're going to have the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you have a thought, if it's something rather strange or different, or it could be, you don't know where it came from, bring that before the Lord, and you will know exactly where that thought came from. So this is the way we live. Some people are controlled by what they think, because they don't realize that those things didn't necessarily come from them. We always get the idea that the thoughts came from us, and that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think these awful, sometimes perverted thoughts came from you when they really came from him. Are you listening? What he wants you to do is own the thoughts that he puts in your mind. He wants you to own them. He wants you to say, oh my goodness, I must be a terrible person. Look what I'm thinking. When it may not necessarily came from you and maybe didn't come from God, it came from the enemy. The enemy is a deceiver, and what he does, he deceives you into thinking those thoughts came from you. Now, if you've been watching certain movies, you're going to get some thoughts. I mean, if you're watching the wrong movies, you're watching those things, you're going to get some thoughts from those because that just happens. That's why we have to be careful what we read, what we take, what we see, what we watch, because those things influence our mind and our thoughts, you see. And so we have to be, but the main thing is, if you have a bad thought, you don't want to speak that thought. You don't want to speak those things, because when you speak something, it belongs to you. Are you listening? It's yours. Not if you think it, but if you speak it, it's yours. Now, I'm telling you how to control things in your daily life. You can control what you do in your daily life. And that's what God is asking us to do, because he speaks to us. He wants us to own what he says, and he wants us to speak out of our mouth what he is saying. Now, basically, we're just vessels to be filled. We're like an empty cup. And the world's trying to fill it, the devil's trying to fill it, and God wants to fill your cup. And you have to determine where these things are coming from. So they either come from those different places. The Word of God says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ lives in me. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have Christ in you in your spirit. He wants to speak from the spirit to your heart, to your mind. That's the way it works. Satan just goes right to the mind. The Lord will speak from your spirit to your heart, to your mind. That's the way he does it. So you can control what you think, and you can control what you say, and therefore you can control what you do in life. Some people say, well, you know, I just couldn't control myself. In 95% of the cases, that's not true. I'm not saying it's never true, but I'm saying in most of the cases, that's not true. You can control your actions by what you do in life, and what you entertain in your mind is what you're going to. So you see, there's a lot of thoughts don't come from us. That's the point. They come from God or Satan. Some come from us. There's three basic sources of what you think, you see. Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to start hearing from God on a daily basis. Now, a prophet would, in the Old Testament, when a prophet was hearing from God, it would come to him like it was bubbling up within him. It was like a river within him. And he would take that river and start speaking it. It was the river of God. The Bible says the river of God is in you if you are a Christian. And so you have to learn how to tap into that river of God. And so he would listen to this and listen to the voice of God and start speaking the things of God, and it would just perpetuate and just keep going. Now, how do you know the true from the false? Well, true prophecy usually just kind of bubbles up, it gushes up, it causes you to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ. True prophecy will cause you, and what's prophecy? A word from God. That's what it is. Cause you to fix your eyes upon Jesus. It's spontaneous. It's going to agree with Scripture. God will never tell you anything that will not agree with Scripture. So if it doesn't agree with Scripture, it's probably not of God. It could be from yourself, could be from the enemy. So, yeah, and usually if it's true prophecy from God, it's going to build people up, it's going to encourage people, it's going to comfort people in most cases. Okay? Look in John 13, 1. We'll start looking in the Bible, John 13, 1. And I want you to see some of these things in the Scripture. And I want you to look very closely, because in John 13, the very beginning tells you the difference between, I'm going to show you this because this is right in the Scriptures, John 13, 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world and unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now the point was here, Jesus knew at this point the hour was come. How did he know? The Father spoke to him. It wasn't written in the Scripture. The Father spoke to him exactly when his hour was up, when he was going to be put on the cross. He got a word from God. And that's what that's talking about. Now, how if you know if something is false prophecy? It usually brings anxiety. It brings fear. It brings worry. It causes you to fix yourself on selfish desires or on something you dislike about somebody else or something of that nature. It's contrary to Scripture. If it's contrary to Scripture, it's not from God. You see, the point is, it's usually negative. The things from God are usually positive. They're usually negative. Look at John 13, 2. Now you're going to see something where somebody heard from somebody and it wasn't God. This is Judas Iscariot, John 13, 2. And the supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Satan put in first into his mind, and he took that and owned that. It went into his heart. And from that point on, he couldn't do anything but what he did, and that was he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was that? Because he took this into him. Satan put it into him. He owned it. He took it. He was probably upset about something. And he had another problem, and that was we know that he was a thief. He stole money. He was the treasurer, would you believe, of the disciples. Judas Iscariot. And it says in the Word of God in another place that he used to steal money from that people would give their ministry. Can you imagine? But so since he was doing that and didn't repent, that opened the door for Satan to put something else a lot worse into his mind and into his heart, and it was to sell Jesus down the river, to crucify, to have him crucified, to give him over to the Roman authorities, you say. So this was a process. He didn't just suddenly come up just with this idea, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to betray Jesus. It was over a period of time. Satan was speaking to him. He took these thoughts into his mind. He owned them. He took them as his own. Satan deceived him into believing this information. And I'll tell you right now, regardless of what you ever heard, Judas Iscariot was not a Christian. He was lost. Jesus knew he was not a Christian. He allowed him to be there with the disciples because he was going to use him to turn him in so that he could be crucified on the cross. That's what he does. But the point is that he didn't obey God in the area of taking care of the money, so then Satan was able to bring something worse into his mind, and I really believe he believed it came from him because he committed suicide. You hear what I'm saying? He took the thoughts of Satan into his life. He believed they came from inside of him, which was not the source, and therefore he betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And it says so right here. Satan spoke to him more than once, but I'm not going to get into all that. But right here, very simply, Satan once again deceived Judas into doing this. Whether he was lost or saved, probably, would have made a difference if he'd been saved, but he wasn't. Now, I'm going to give you examples of how God can speak to you. I'll just give you some examples here. You can suddenly have an impression that you should pray for somebody or something. You hadn't even been thinking about it. And all of a sudden, you get this. You can call it an impression. You can call it a small voice within. You can call it whatever you want to. You can call it a thought, but pray for so-and-so. And you'll find out later that person was probably going through something where that prayer was necessary. Are you listening? Another day, God speaks to me a lot of times when I walk. I try to walk occasionally during the week. And God spoke to me one morning, pray for your sister and brother-in-law. And I had no idea what I was praying for, but I had been praying for them that God would use them in ministry, because my brother-in-law had quit pastoring, and he used to pastor a church, and he'd quit pastoring, and I asked God to use them in their retirement, so to speak. And so one morning I was walking, and I got this thought, pray for them. So I prayed for them, asked the Spirit of God to be on them, to anoint them, and all of this. That night, I got a phone call from my sister. They live in Missouri. And I got a phone call from my sister, and she said, we have a speaking engagement for a week at a church, and we're going to have an evangelistic meeting, and we need prayer. Well, that was the night of the morning God had already told me. I didn't know all the information, but I knew enough to pray for them. And that was a word from God. It wasn't written in the Bible, because it's written in the Bible to pray for people, but not for that specific thing. So you learn to listen and catch these words of God and then hopefully do them, because if you don't do them, that stops the flow. But you do whatever God tells you to do, and it opens that flow up. You just keep flowing, and you're going to get some more information at another time. Now, that is called the Rhema word of God. It's where God speaks to you personally about something personally, usually in your life or in somebody else's life. Now, you have a river of the Holy Spirit in your life. I want you to see that. It's in John 7 and verse 37. John chapter 7. And verse 37. Now, the point I'm making is here, you have, if you're a Christian, this flow of the river of God in your life. John 7, 37. Now, here's what it says. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. What is that? That is the word of God, and it's also the anointing of God. It is in you. If you're a Christian, that river is there. It's flowing. It's not a stagnant pond. It's a continuous flowing of the Holy Spirit in your life. So, you want to tap into this. You want to hear what God's saying. And I'm not going to say every time you pray you're going to hear from God. But you will hear from God when he wants you to give you some information that is not in the Word of God. And that's exactly how Jesus operated. Jesus knew the Old Testament. Every letter, every number, everything. He knew it all. But he didn't know what God was going to do in his life every day, so he would go somewhere and pray. God would give him basically the day's schedule, so it wasn't a surprise to him when a blind man came up to him and said, I want to see. Because God had already told him that was going to take place. And so when the blind man would come, he knew that this was of God. He would pray for that person, they would see. Just that simple. And so that's the way Jesus operated. That's the way we're supposed to operate. Now, if you go in the morning and you pray and God doesn't give you any specific instructions, then you go ahead with what you're doing during the day, but you're listening to God to see if there's something he wants you to do. He might tell you to call somebody. He might tell you to pray for somebody. He might tell you to take a different road than you're going to take on that particular day for some reason. He might, if you're in a shopping mall, he may tell you to go up and speak to somebody you don't even know. That's happened before. And those kind of things. Anybody can be used of God if you're living the life that God wants you to live. And I didn't say you were perfect. There is nobody perfect. But the point is, anybody can be used by God on any given day if you listen to him, because he will speak if he wants you to do something. And it's the neatest thing, when God speaks to you, you accept it, you do it, and you know that was God. That's why the Christian life is not dull and it's not boring. In fact, God is speaking right now to some of you in this place right this second. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You're here so that God will be speaking to some of you. He may tell you to pray for somebody before this service is over. He may tell you to come forward and be prayed for. He may tell you to come and accept him as your Savior. God speaks to people constantly. And when you're in a group situation like this, he's speaking all over the place. And sometimes when I'm preaching, it's not that I'm different. I'm certainly not perfect, ask my wife. But the issue is that I could be speaking this message, and while I'm speaking, God can speak something to me to tell you. And occasionally he does that. Not all the time, but occasionally he does that. That's what makes the whole thing fun. Now, sometimes what God does, you start to do something and you get this check in your mind and just, maybe I shouldn't do this. In other words, God knows if you do a certain thing, there's going to be a problem. You might get hurt. Somebody might get hurt. There may be some other thing. So God may put a check in your mind. Don't do that. Don't go to that place. Don't drive down that street, whatever it is. And if you have any hesitation at all, don't do it. You see, because that may be God speaking, just that small voice in your mind might be God speaking, and he wants to tell you not to do something because you'll be in trouble if you do it. Now, we know about the sin, we're going to get a check from God if we're listening, you see. And so we need to understand that. If you're a Christian, you and the Holy Spirit of God are one in many, many ways. And so you have to understand that God will instruct you, God will speak to you, and he wants to speak to you. And you say, well, I'm sure God can't talk to me. Remember what I did back 10 years ago when I did this or that? Listen, the cross took care of that thing. You need to repent and then start listening to God. You see what I'm saying? That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you confess that to God and you forsake that sin, you have to receive the cleansing of God and go on with your life and let God hear from you. Otherwise, you will never accomplish half the things in life that you were put on this earth for. Every single one of us were put here for a purpose. We were put here to do certain things. And the only way you're going to do that is keep clean before God. Somebody said 1 John 1:9 is a Christian's bar of soap. And it is. Because we need to get cleansed. We're out in life. We make mistakes. We do things that sometimes aren't pleasing to God. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. If you're still there, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Now, God just says, here's what I was saying, and here it says the Lord instead of the Holy Spirit, but he says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's good. Look in John 15:5. John 15:5. This is our instruction manual, but sometimes there's things that God wants to say that aren't written in here for a particular day. Okay, we go to John 15 and verse 5. I am the vine, you've heard this 100 times, but you have to understand, this is the way it works. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Let me tell you something. The only thing you're going to take to heaven is what you did when God spoke to you and you did it. That's all you're going to take to heaven with you. So if you're not hearing from God and you're not doing what God says, you're not going to have anything when you go. I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. I said you're not going to have anything because that's all you have. The fruit of God. What the fruit of God is produced by hearing from God and doing what he says, and the Bible calls that producing fruit for the kingdom of God. So you will receive rewards for those things. But God brought you on this earth to produce fruit. He didn't bring you on this earth to work at a certain place particularly or to make a certain amount of money. He brought you on this earth to bring fruit in the kingdom of God. And the fruit comes from God himself. In other words, God's in heaven, you're here, you're as God on the earth. God wants to work through you to produce some of the same things that he did through Jesus when he was on the earth in the flesh. Do I hear an amen? That was pretty weak. You see, most of us, let's be honest, we don't believe that. We really don't. But that's exactly what's going on. Jesus said, I'm going to go up to heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down. The Holy Spirit is going to be as me. He's going to be in you. And then you will do the works of God. Jesus is not doing the works of God down here. He's in on the right hand of the Father in heaven. You're doing the works of God. If you don't do the works of God, they don't get done. Are you listening to me? So when we stand before Jesus in heaven, he's going to evaluate the fruit that was produced by the Holy Spirit through you out into this world. That's going to determine your rewards. That's going to determine whether or not you're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in heaven. Now you say, oh my goodness, that's putting responsibility on me. Yes, it is. And God wants to put responsibility on you. The responsibility on you is to do the work of God on this earth, whether it's at home, work, play, whatever. And it doesn't mean you don't take care of your family. You take care of your family. You can produce fruit taking care of your family, teaching your kids about Jesus. You see? And so we're all designed to be fruit bearers. Not to originally produce it, but to allow God to produce it through us. That's what we're on this earth for. If you're not doing that, then you will have nothing to stand with before Christ in eternity. You say, well, I don't like that kind of pressure. Well, talk to God about it, not me. I'm just giving you the information. You can get mad at me if you want to, but that's okay. But the idea, I'm just telling you, so you got to choose to do this. You have to choose to do this. God gave us a free will. So you have to decide to do it, you see. And so we might say something like this. I choose to honor the flow of the Holy Spirit within me because it is the river of God working through me, producing the fruit of the Spirit. If you want to do that, say out loud with me. I choose to honor the flow of the Holy Spirit within me, because it is a river of God in me, working the fruit of the Holy Spirit in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. You have to choose to do it. Every contact you have with another person is an opportunity that God may want you to do something. He'll tell you. It's not a problem. He'll tell you. Now, I've known Christians that believe what I'm telling you, but they just do it on their own, and sometimes they get a little obnoxious to tell you the truth. They drive people away from God. What we need to do, we need to know that we are to love people. We know that before we walk out the door of the house. We're to love people. I don't care if you're going to work, where you're going. We're to love people. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God is love. He loves people through us. Jesus can't love people. He's up at the throne of God. He's going to love people through you. That's what the church is. That's what it's all about. We have so much time to do this. And so we are to be ready. We don't have to witness to every person that moves. I don't think Jesus did that. It's okay if that's your thing. But the point is, there are people that God wants you to talk to about Him. Usually starting with your family and moving on from there. But that's exactly what He did with me. I got saved. I knew nothing from nothing, other than what little I'd heard at church, which wasn't a whole lot, because I'd just been newly saved. So all I had was my testimony. I knew God saved me. I knew God did something in my life. I just started telling my family. And God ran through my family like a fire. And people got saved. Some of them started preaching. It was just amazing. And I knew I didn't know 1/100th of what I know now. So it isn't how much you know, it's who you know, you see. It's who you know. It's not how much you know. Knowledge is good. We're going to talk about that if we ever get there. But the point is that we need to choose, just say, God, I choose to allow you to work through me in any way you want to work the rest of my life. That's what I have done. However much time I have, I just say, Lord, and with the time I have left, do everything you can possibly do through me, because I want it all. You know, to be honest with you, I want to be with Jesus in eternity. I want to be right next to Him. I want to be doing whatever He's doing. I want to be ruling and reigning with Christ. And you can do that. Being a pastor has nothing to do with it. Am I letting God do through me what He wants to do? That's the issue. And so that's what this life is all about. He's going to take us out, show us the report card. Some people say, I don't like to go to school because you have to study. Or, I don't like to go to school because there's a report card at the end, and I'm just not sure how it's going to come out. I'm not worried about how it's going to come out. I want to do today what God wants me to do. That's what I'm interested in. And there is going to be a report card. Did you listen to God? Did you do what He said? That's going to be the report card. It's not complicated. Didn't have to know everything in the Bible. You just had to be open to God as to what he wanted to do. That was it. Do I hear an amen? Okay. Any questions? Yes. Okay. That's very good. You're not responsible for the results. You're responsible to do it. There's always results. A lot of times you don't see them. We don't always see the results. We're not responsible for the results. We're responsible to do what God has told us to do. That was it. God will take care of the results of it. You don't always see the harvest. Sometimes the Bible says some people plant, some people water, some people harvest. Just because Billy Graham has harvested thousands and thousands of souls doesn't make him more important to God than you. Because you're called to do what you're supposed to do. If everybody was Billy Graham, it'd be a little boring. We'd be preaching to each other, you see. And we're not responsible for the results. We're responsible to do what he wants us to do. Yes. Well, yeah. The lady might have got up and went to another seat. That's not your responsibility. You did what God told you to do, yes.
Every time God tells me to do something that I don't like, and I start arguing with him, or I just don't do it, I never hear one more word from him until I do what he told me to do.
Okay.
Yes. Anything.
Yeah. So what you have to do, if you haven't been listening to God or you haven't been doing what God wants you to do, confess that sin, get that dealt with, take care of it, and then this is a new hour. Start from here.
Amen.
Start from here. I don't care what you did in the past. Maybe you ignored God completely. I don't know what you did. But the issue is, start now. We still have some time. We're breathing. We're moving. We still have time. So let's do it. And God's not going to probably, you know, he's going to work within your personality. He's going to work within your gifting and your abilities. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do, because he'll put it in you to do it. Amen? Let's stand before the Lord.